Well, brothers and sisters, I'd like to turn your attention this morning to the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 20 and verse 28. Actually continuing from the passage we were looking at last Lord's Day. So Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. And to the words of the Lord in particular, that our Lord Jesus Christ says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The truth this verse sets before us is that our Lord Jesus Christ is the first and greatest deacon. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the first and greatest deacon. As the head of the church and the source of all its life and power, the Lord Jesus has in himself every gift and grace, every office that is needed to perfect the church and bring it to glory. He's our prophet, priest, king, mediator, apostle, elder, and he is the first and greatest deacon. Now, you might know that the word deacon comes from our Bible. And it's the English for a Greek word, diakonos. And that's a word that's found throughout the New Testament. Now, just by itself, or often in the form of a verb, it just simply means servant. That's what deacon means. Sometimes translated minister in your Bible, but it means servant. A deacon is one sent to serve. And it's that word, that word to serve, to be a deacon, that appears in this passage, in its Greek, and then here as to serve in your Bible. And the Lord Jesus is describing here the nature and the manner of all his gracious work as our Savior. That this characterizes His whole life and purpose, that he's come to serve, to deacon. He's the ultimate servant of God. And you'll notice that although the Lord Jesus calls himself the Son of Man here, and that's a way of saying he's one of us, he's a son of Adam, he's a member of man, of the human race, of mankind. What an extraordinary thing he says here. Because he is also the Son of God. God the Son, our sovereign Lord, the creator of this universe, who upholds it by his power. And yet he says he comes to serve, to voluntarily give his life to serve. Now, the Bible has so much to say to us about his work as the deacon of God, the servant of God, about his diaconal ministry. In the prophets, in the Old Testament, the greatest saints were given the title servant of the Lord. It's Moses, David, Samuel, a few select others, meaning they were set apart by that title, the servant of God, meaning they were called by God in a special way to be his agents on earth, to care for his people, to rescue his people. But then the prophets, and Isaiah in particular, promised a greater servant, the servant of the Lord who was to come, the greatest one of them all, the ultimate servant who would redeem mankind from sin and death. And in Isaiah chapters 40 to 66, there's a collection of writings and songs that are often called the servant songs. We heard one of them in Isaiah 61. And they all, these oracles, they speak about this servant of God and his work of service, his ministry, is he's sent to heal, to restore, to deliver. He's going to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, set captives free, open the eyes of the blind, He's going to comfort those who mourn, give beauty with his ashes. He's going to bring justice and peace to the world. He'll gently care for the broken. In Isaiah 42, another one of these servant passages, God says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench." And so the servant of the Lord is this perfect combination of power. He's going to bring justice for the oppressed and the poor and the suffering, and yet gentleness for the brokenhearted, for the soul that's so fragile, it's like a reed that's already half broken, and a strong gust of wind will just blow it to smithereens. For that soul, he's also so gentle. He will fully heal them. There's so much more that could be said just from the Old Testament about the servant, the deacon of the Lord. But I hope you're beginning to see, just get a little taste of this rich meaning, this rich heritage of what it means when Jesus comes and says he's come to serve. He's saying this is who he is. He's the servant that's spoken of in all of these wonderful passages. This was his work, to come and heal God's people, to set free. He's come to defend the poor and the weak and the widow and the orphan. You could think of how in John's gospel, Jesus often says he's the one who's been sent. Have you ever noticed that in John's gospel? "I have been sent to do my Father's will." What does he mean when he talks about that sending language? That he's the servant, fulfilling all of these promises. The servant of the Lord. And then our Lord Jesus, you could say he's the deacon of God in a real holistic sense. He ministers to both the body and soul of God's people. For our souls, he came to set us free from sin. And our bondage, our condemnation before God. And as he says here, he offers his life as a ransom. A ransom. He pays the price to settle and atone for that debt of our sins so that we're set free from our slavery. He reveals God to us. He's the final complete word and image of God. And he opens up eternal life for us. But something that I think we often neglect is that Jesus ministers to the bodily needs of his people. You see that even in his ministry recorded in the Gospels, this holistic care for his people. He didn't just teach and preach. He cared for the sick. Think, what are his miracles of healing? When he's lifting that weight of sickness and illness off his people and alleviating their suffering. That's a diaconal ministry. That is Jesus, our deacon, caring for the bodies of his precious people. When he's casting out the demons and he's making the lame walk and the deaf to hear, and he's caring for the body. I suppose even ultimately you can say the resurrection comes under this as well. That one day he'll fully heal and restore our bodies out of the grave. But I think as well, the Gospels tell us you find the Lord caring for widows, for the poor. He goes to Nain, a city, because he's going to be there just as a widow is bringing out her only son who's died. And he raises him up. The scriptures say that he took up a collection for the poor. It's the one that Judas would try to steal from. Presumably, whenever he goes out preaching, he tells the people to take up an offering for the poor. We saw just recently with the rich young ruler, he told the rich, "Give what you have to the suffering in God's people, those without." I think you get a wonderful little sense of all of those things coming together when he ministers to Jairus' daughter. You know, she's the little girl who's died. He has a house of mourning. There's great grief And he comes in and he turns it to joy. He turns the ashes of grief into the beauty of new life. And he raises her up. And then there's even this little note. He says, give her something to eat. Isn't that a wonderful little thing that's recorded in the scriptures? Not just this amazing miracle, but this tender, practical care. Give her something to eat. And so really all of it comes under this umbrella of his servant ministry. He's the deacon of God. Think about it. He's got compassion for the people in the wilderness. They've been following him, listening to his preaching. And he says, they're going to faint on the way home. They've been with me all this time. And so he gets a few loaves and fishes. And he blesses them. And he feeds his people. Now, obviously, we're not expecting that of you, dear deacons. That is a miracle, and on a manner and scale unique to our Lord. But don't miss, this is the work of a deacon. As he's caring for God's people. And then I'm sure you know that most famous example of the Last Supper. He took off his outer robe and he knelt down at the feet of the disciples and he washed their feet. Now in the dirty streets of ancient Israel, that's a necessity that you clean people's feet before they're going to lie down at a banquet. And that work is reserved for the lowest servant because it's a disgusting job. But the Lord Jesus took on that dirty work. Because he's serving and he's ministering to all the needs of his people. And there's, I'm sure, many, many other examples we could turn to. But I hope that might begin to give you a fresh eye as you think about the ministry of the Lord. As you study the Gospels, that he's the first and greatest deacon, the servant of the Lord. And above all, think of our Lord's heart. His humility. He is the Lord of glory. But he humbles himself. And takes this low position of a servant. His condescension. Is the spirit in which he ministers. The Bible says very little actually. About what was going on in the thoughts and hearts of heart of our Lord. About his feelings. But what does it say? What does it emphasize? Is compassion. That he's full of sympathy. That he was never looking down on people, but he was coming alongside people and showing love to those written off and those who were the least. And of course, that is who our Lord still is today. If you're not a Christian and you're broken and you're hurting, strange as it might sound, what you need to come to Jesus, the servant, and allow him to minister to you and to save you. Now, of course, the great point of today is that our Lord Jesus is continuing this diaconal ministry to his people. In some sense, he continues it through all of us as Christians. Every single one of us is here to serve each other. But especially he does it through men he calls and gifts and sets apart, and through them, he continues this ministry to his people. The deacon is tasked with care for the poor, the sick, the lonely, the hungry, for the persecuted, the widow, the orphan. And so the first thought to take from this, brothers and sisters, is what an honor it is to be called a deacon by Christ. To be set apart as a servant of the church is a most noble, holy calling. You are walking in the footsteps of Christ. Christ is ministering through you to his people. I think sadly, in the history of the church, there's often been confusion about the office of deacon. In the Anglican church, for example, the office of deacon is really today just seen as one more stepping stone towards somebody becoming a priest. You could be a deacon one week and then, just for one week, and then you're ordained a priest. It's a lower rung on the ladder. And this idea that somehow deacon is a lower office. You know, deacons are just there putting their chairs out. Well, there are humble servant jobs to do, but you see, being a deacon is so much more. It's the most honourable service, following Christ, to be the hands of the Lord, ministering to his people, his hands to the poor and the vulnerable. What an honour it is to be a deacon. And then I think the second thought we should take from this is what a powerful force for good a God-ordained deacon can be. Look at the good Jesus did. Look at the good a deacon can do by the power of God. You know, there's that wonderful description of Jesus in the book of Acts. It says, he went about everywhere doing good. That's how he was known. What a wonderful way to be spoken about. He just went about everywhere doing good. What does it mean to be a deacon? You go about everywhere doing good. Think of Stephen in the book of Acts. He's maybe the most preeminent deacon in the New Testament church. The scriptures say he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. None of the enemies of the church could withstand him. His face shone like an angel. And as he's ministering to the poor and the hungry in the Jerusalem church, they actually, Stephen and the other deacons, prevent a division in the church. Don't miss that in Acts 6. The church was grumbling and not happy because some were not having their needs met. There had been big problems and divisions. And God used the deacons to unite his church. And then the apostles focused on evangelism and mission. Deacons are so important and they can be so fruitful in God's hands. When Paul's writing instructions to Timothy, like you heard, about what the church needs, he doesn't just say you need elders and a good preacher. He says you've got to appoint deacons. Because a holy deacon is a mighty instrument in the hand of God for doing good. Now, sadly today, the world's stolen a bit of a march on us. And we've got all these secular social services that are trying to meet the responsibilities and the burdens for people who are at the sharp end of life. And of course they can't really do it. They can't meet those needs. And it doesn't really work. What we really need are God-ordained deacons. Because you have the Spirit of God poured out upon you for this work. And so think of the single mums really struggling with kids on their own that come to that centre over there. Think of the widows who come and meet at the old folks meeting that meets here. And that's just before we even look at some of the needs we have amongst us. What a great amount of good a deacon can do. And then just one final thought. I hope to encourage our deacons that the word of God promises great blessing. Great blessing and reward for deacons who serve faithfully. In those instructions you heard in 1 Timothy, it says, as an encouragement at the end, those who serve well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith. Good standing. With who? Not just with the church, just with the world, but in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Well done, good and faithful servant. And great boldness, great assurance, great confidence, spiritual strength. Or think of the parable of the sheep and the goats. And the Lord praises those believers, caring for his persecuted church, clothing them, visiting them, feeding them, because they were doing it to him. Now what is that but the work of the deacons of the church? And the Lord says to them, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ is the first and greatest deacon of the church. And so let us pray for our deacons that they'll flourish in their God-given ministries, following his steps. These men who are servants of the Lord. Servants of the Lord. Let us pray. Our great God and Father, above all, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom every good thing comes to us, all our salvation and eternal life. And we thank you that he is our all in all, the mighty Saviour of our souls, the true servant of God. And we thank you that he is now exalted as our King in heaven and continues his care for us through deacons. Oh Lord, we rejoice this day, but we pray again, Lord, that you would greatly strengthen and encourage and equip our brothers, and that you would help them, Lord, to seek out the weak and the suffering, and that through them, Lord, that they would be your hands to bring your love and care to those who are sick and poor and alone. Please use them mightily amongst us, Lord, that you would be known, that your glory would be seen, that your name would be praised. Amen.